Welcome to the Keynote Podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
Matthew 16, verse 13. When they arrived in the area of Caesarea Philippi, Jesus asked his disciples, What do the people say about the Son of Man? Who do they understand him to be? They answered, some say he is John the Baptist, others Elijah, and others think that he is Jeremiah or one of the other prophets. Well, what do you think? Jesus asked. Who do you say I am? You are the Christ, the Messiah, God's Son, Simon Peter answered. Simon, son of Jonah, you are blessed, Jesus said. This could not have been revealed to you by any man, but only by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that clearly that you are Peter, a rock, and I will build my church on the bedrock on which you are placed. And the very gates of hell shall not overcome my church. I give you the key truths that unlock the way into the kingdom of heaven. So you have the authority to restrict or prevent on earth what is not allowed in heaven. And you have my permission to liberate on earth whatever is liberated in heaven. Now, these are well-known words, and you've heard me explain before, and it says in the study edition of the truth, that there are two Greek words used here. One, petros, which of course from which the word Peter comes, which means a rock, a boulder. I'm going to use the word a stone. And the other is Petra, which is the bedrock. Jesus, of course, when he says on this rock, he's using the word Petra there, on this bedrock, referring to himself, not to Peter, but to this revelation that he is the Christ. On that bedrock, the church will be built. The mistranslation of this have led, in Roman Catholicism, of course, to all the wrong teaching about Peter being the first pope and the church being built by the pope and all the rest of it. So we come back to the truth. Now, it's Peter, of course, who years later talks about the church being living stones that form the temple of God. So let's use this word stone. In the building of the church, there are no bricks. There are only stones. Brick is a man-made material. But stone is a God-made material. And the stone has the same characteristics as the bedrock. You see, if you see some landscape and there you see the bedrock and you see some boulders on it, the boulders are the same kind of stone as the bedrock. So the stones are to share the same characteristics as the bedrock. Now, the reason why at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is talking about building your house on the rock, on the bedrock, is the bedrock is stable. It's reliable. It's immovable. And of course, the shifting sand is totally the opposite. So the boulder or the stone, the petros, has to depend upon, be built upon, the bedrock. And for that to happen, of course, the stone has to share the same characteristic as the bedrock. But that means the church, which is a group of living stones that are built together, all those stones are to share the characteristic of the rock. Yes, yes. The same characteristics. Right, now let's look at Peter for a moment. Because we've just heard how he had this great revelation from God the Father that Jesus is the Christ. But then Jesus uses this opportunity to explain that he is going to be crucified and that any who follow him will have to deny themselves, take up their cross in order to be able to follow them. And it says in verse 22, when he heard this, Peter took Jesus to one side and began to rebuke him. God forbid that this should ever happen to you, he said. Jesus turned and said directly to Peter's face, get out of my way, Satan. You only want to hinder me because you do not understand the things of God. You think only as men think. Now, this is Peter, a rock, but not behaving like a rock. Because one moment he has this revelation from God, the next he is the mouthpiece of Satan. In other words, there is an instability there which would not make him a good rock to build into a temple. Because if there is such a flaw in the rock would crumble when there is any pressure in the building process. And as we follow Peter through in the closing part of Jesus' ministry, this instability continues. He is full of good intentions. Like he said to Jesus, didn't he? Even if others leave you, I would never leave you. What happens when Jesus gets arrested? He flees like everybody else. He has the right desire, the right intention, but not the right actions to go with the intention. In other words, he wants to do something but ends up by doing the opposite. The very thing that Paul talks about, of course, in Romans 7. And you see this again when, you know, he says at the time of Jesus' arrest, I would die for you. And yet, a few hours later, three times, even with cursing and swearing, he is denying he even knew Jesus. It seems he's got rock-like words, but not rock-like actions. And so there is this instability. Now, you can't build with such material. So when Jesus was bringing this revelation to Peter at Caesarea Philippi, he was really talking prophetically of what he would do with Peter once a kind of refining process had taken place in his life. And that is, of course, what happened during the days between Jesus' return to heaven and the coming of the Spirit. And what transformed Peter was, of course, the Spirit coming to live within him. Because then he didn't just have the right intentions, but he had the right empowering to fulfill those intentions. So what we see in the Acts of the Apostles is very different from Peter in the Gospels. Peter in the Gospels had the right intentions but the wrong actions. But then you see in the Acts of the Apostles, the actions are matching the intentions. Even if he is whipped and beaten, even if he is imprisoned, even if there is great cost in being faithful to Jesus, he now stands firm. He is now stable. He is not the unstable person that he was in the time of the Gospels. Now, if we think of what Jesus is doing in his church today, he is wanting to build the church. He says, I will build my church. But how is that possible? You see, it's only possible if he has stones that are not flawed. Doesn't mean they will be perfect, but they don't have the flaws in them that Peter had, where he had the right words but not the right actions. Jesus cannot build what he wants to build, a spiritual temple, with people like that. Now, what was going on in those latter months of Jesus' ministry was that Peter's heart was being tested by all these various events. And what was being revealed was that he had the heart to want what is right, but not the heart to do what was right. So when he was filled with the Spirit, now he has the heart to want what is right, but also the determination to do what is right. Now, it's only with such stones that God can build what he wants to build. So everybody who is called to be a stone in the living temple is going to be tested. Because the stone has to match the same characteristic as the bedrock. So Jesus has to reveal to each stone the flaws that are not like the bedrock. The flaws that actually hinder or prevent that person being built into what he wants to build, a spiritual temple that will house the presence and the life and the power of God and be effective, of course, in communicating that to the world. So everybody is going to go through this testing process. Now, what happens in the testing process is that when those flaws are revealed, some people respond like Peter. Because you remember, after he denied Jesus three times, he broke down and wept bitterly. He repented. He saw the nature of his heart. He saw how he had failed the Lord, rather like David in Psalm 51. Against you, you only have I sinned. He saw that his real problem was not in relation to Bathsheba and her husband, but really in relation to God. The character flaw that had been exposed in David could only be put right by God. So what happens when people are faced with these flaws? Either they will respond with repentance and say, Lord, I want you to deal with my heart. I want my actions to match my intentions. Or they're going to try to avoid or evade the transformation that God has to bring about in order to make this stone a reliable stone, a stable stone, a dependable stone, like the rock on which it's built. And if a person refuses to do that, what they do is they remove themselves from the building process. We would say they leave the church. But what they're actually doing is they have failed the test. That the testing of their hearts, they have failed that test. So instead of being able to be built in, they remove themselves, even though they may have been built into the temple in that place for many years, they now remove themselves. Now, if you've been built into a temple for some time and such a flaw is revealed that you then remove yourself, the temple is weakened. The sort of progressive work of building the temple has been hindered because some of the stones have been removed. The interesting thing is that usually they remove themselves. It's not God that is removing them, because he is building a church. He is building people together. He is exposing these things in order to deal with people's hearts so that they are like the rock, merciful, gracious, loving, forgiving, and all the rest of it. But why do people leave? They leave in offense, they leave in criticism, they leave in judgment. Because when you're a stone, even if you were part of something and now you've removed yourself, you will look at that building and you will want to criticize that building to try to justify the fact that you've removed yourself from it. And that's the element, of course, of self-righteousness that is operating in people that do that, the pride and self-righteousness that causes them to absent themselves, to take themselves out of that building process. But of course, that has to happen because God cannot build a temple with such unreliable stones. He can't build a temple with the old Peters. He can only build the temple with the new Peters. And what is the difference? Well, you see, the instability is that people base their decisions on their emotions. Why do people leave? Because they are emotionally upset by something that has happened. They base the decisions they make on their opinions, not on what God is doing and saying in the body, but what they themselves think. And so they then are very critical of what they were part of, sometimes for many years. What is wrong? There is a flaw in and an instability in their spiritual lives because they base their decisions on emotions and they base their decisions on their own opinions rather than on the will and the purpose of God in building his people together. Father, may they be one so that the world will know. So that process of people removing themselves weakens, or at least it hinders the progressive growth of the church on the one hand, but is an inevitable because then God is left with the stones that will be built together, that will go forward in unity. He is left with those who want those character flaws that get exposed to be dealt with so that they become more like the bedrock, that they really do share the characteristics of the bedrock. And of course, at the heart of all this is the cross, not the cross of Jesus, but the cross that we are to carry. If any man would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross. Those who absent themselves aren't denying themselves, they're indulging themselves. Whereas you see, when you have to face the flaws that God exposes, then you are actually having to allow God to do that transforming work within you, which is going to involve denying self, not indulging self. And often there is a cost, you see. There is a cost to allowing your life to be built in to this living temple so that the whole temple can move ahead together in unity in the purposes of God. There's a cost in that. Those that absent themselves don't want to be part of that cost. They might go and join another church, which is not necessarily going to demand that kind of cost, because not every church is really like a group of living stones. It can be a pile of stones where everybody is still just living for themselves, or even sometimes like a pile of bricks rather than a pile of stones. But wherever there is serious intention on seeing the will and the purpose of God fulfilled, then God is building a spiritual temple which can only be built in and through the power of the Spirit, can only be built in unity. Now, of course, a lot of this depends upon the leadership, because if you've got an unstable leadership in the church, you'll have an unstable church. What Jesus was doing with Peter was forming a leader. In the time of the gospel, Peter was not fit to lead anyone because of the instability that there was in his character. But of course, once that purifying, refining work had been done, once he had received the Spirit and so on, what emerges in the early chapters of Acts is the leader, which you could see he potentially was, naturally was, but because of the instability, that disqualified him from being able to fulfill his leadership role. Whereas in the Acts of the Apostles, you see Peter, the spiritual leader, not just the man that was naturally gifted in leadership, but you see the one who was willing to deny himself, take up his cross, and follow Jesus. And of course, traditionally, he also ended up being crucified. And it is said, crucified upside down. So he was going to be faithful to the end. That is not like the guy that fled when he was arrested or denied Jesus three times. It's a different kind of character. Now, of course, Jesus could see in calling him a stone, a boulder, at Caesarea Philippi, he could see what Peter was going to become. He could see what he was going to work in Peter. And it's the same with us, that God has brought us together here in the body, in unity. We need the strong, stable leadership that I believe by the grace of God we have. But I mean, those leaders have got to remain stable, remain strong, remain united, and avoid all that emotional and opinionated ideas, you know, because even leaders can fall into that trap, because immediately those flaws are present, are shown to be present, then the building process is hindered. And I believe that God is bringing us this word right now, because what we're going to see in the coming months is an expansion of the building. But you see, it's going to be an expansion because of what God is doing, the stones. He's already, well, I say he's removed, the unstable stones have removed themselves. And of course, the unstable stones don't see themselves like that. Peter wouldn't have seen himself like that. Peter was saying, no, I love the Lord. No, I'll do anything for the Lord. No, I'll die for the Lord. But the actions betrayed the words. And the action of leaving betrays your commitment to God and to the body. You have voted with your feet, but you voted in the wrong direction, if people do that. But what is left are the stones that God is going to build, and he's going to add. Now, you see, the greater the stability of the building, the easier it is for God to add stable stones, or stones that will rapidly become stable, because the character flaws that are not like Jesus will be exposed and will be dealt with, because there is the kind of atmosphere, if you like, the ethos where, you know, people don't say, oh, look, we are the great ones, the stable ones, the strong ones, the dependable ones. But we're the ones that are open to be dealt with by God. We're the ones who will certainly respond when God confronts us with things. We won't run away. We won't absent ourselves. We won't be judgmental and critical of others. We will weep like Peter. You know, we'll break down before God and say, Lord, deal with me. I want to be more like Jesus. not just in intention, but in action. And this is the difference, isn't it? That even the stones, you see, that have removed themselves, they're still stones. And they might have all the good intentions, but their actions have belied their intentions. And what is left are those whose actions are going to match their intentions. Hallelujah. And that doesn't mean that every stone that is there that is left is stable. But you see, God in his wisdom. Now, just if you think just for a moment of people that have left Kingdom Faith within recent months, not one of them was in a position that was really strategic for the building process. Right? It weakens the building because some of the stones have gone. But if you think about it, you see, God knows the end from the beginning. And he doesn't put a person in a strategic position if he knows that person is unstable. You prove faithful in little things, and then he'll put you in charge of much. He'll put you in a position where you will remain rock solid, because others are built around you. And if you fail, others around you are going to fail. Now, of course, wherever you are placed, so, you know, it may be somebody's part of the building, but if you've got a sort of a stone on the top somewhere and you lose it, that's okay, you can replace it with another stone. If you've got a stone right in the middle of the wall and that goes, then there's an instability in the whole wall. So God, in his wisdom, see, has not allowed that to happen. Now, okay, some will have influence on others, on the other stones around them. So you might lose a few stones over there. But that is not going to affect the building process, because those stones were never in the place. God ensured they were never in the place that would actually seriously affect the building process. And in all this, you see the wisdom of God. You see the foreknowledge of God. You see how he is much greater than any of the instability that there can be in people. So as people are added, they're not all necessarily like the new Peters. I mean, when they come in, there's all kinds of issues and character flaws and things, but God doesn't put them in a leadership position. You see, they're in the body and he's dealing. There's this testing, so they become more and more like the bedrock. And the more like the bedrock they are, the more strategic the ministry and position he can give them. Are you with me? So, you know, I think this is a key word to help us to understand what has been going on in recent times. But also, it's such an encouraging word, because it's like those that can be shaken have been shaken. Because the unstable ones, they can be shaken out of position and put over there somewhere. Whereas those that are built in are unshakable. What makes them unshakable is not just their faith. I mean, that's part of it. But the fact that they are built in and supported, therefore, by all those around them, that makes them immovable. And there's, let me see if I can find it quickly. A word that Paul speaks to the, in 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. And you see, I think that's probably a word for us as we come to this new season of the church's life. There's always happens at the beginning of September, doesn't it? Stand firm. Let nothing move you. Give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because we're going to move forward. We're going to advance. The temple is going to be built. Not just in size, but it's going to be more and more effective. That which could be shaken has been shaken. Now, come on. God is going to add more stones. But because of the stability of what is left, those stones that are added are going to become stable stones very rapidly.
Yes. Yeah. Amen.
Are we on the same page here?
Yes.
So that's it, really. It's an exciting prospect, I think, for what God's going to do. And, you know, there's much more. You can always expand on these things. But that's the essence of it. And at the very, very heart of it is this realization, this amazing realization, that as stones, we share the same characteristics and life as the one upon whom we're built. Boy, that's encouraging, isn't it? And that where that is not true, God shows us these things, but also is ready, therefore, to deal with those things, making us more stable, more reliable, more dependable, more faithful, so that nothing will move us from the place where God has put us. Praise God. Let's all stand, shall we? Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith, and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.